Romans chapter 12, if we can turn in our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read the whole chapter for us, Romans chapter 12. Wonderful message about the Lord Jesus coming again, and what a blessing that'll be, but what a challenge that is as well. As John said, that we ought to abide in him, that when he shall appear, we might not be ashamed before him at his coming. And so there's a sometimes little mixed feelings, I think, in our heart when we think the Lord could come today. What a blessing that would be, but oh dear, maybe just not till later on this afternoon, that'd be a little better. I trust that's a blessing to our hearts to think about that, looking for that glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honour, preferring one another. Let not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you for today. We're thankful for the hymns of the faith. We're thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed our risen Saviour and is indeed coming again one day. As we've sung, Lord, this morning, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Lord, help us to be ready and to be watching and to be waiting and not to be ashamed when the Lord comes. Lord, we don't know the day or the hour. But Lord, we do anticipate that it could be at any moment. Lord, help us and quicken that truth to our hearts, Lord, that we might be encouraged and blessed. And Father, as we look at your word together now, I pray, Lord, that you would quicken us by your Spirit, and Lord, that you would, Lord, just encourage us, and Lord, that your will would be accomplished in our midst this morning. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about knowing God's will. The Bible says in those opening verses, verse 1 and 2, speaking about the will of God, which is good and acceptable and perfect. The will of God, which is both good and acceptable and perfect. as Paul begins this chapter, or as we have it set out for us in chapters, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. The only way a person can know the will of God, first of all, they need to be saved. If someone's not saved, they'll never know the will of God. And God doesn't reveal his will to the unsaved in the context of what their life is and everything else until they trust Christ as their Savior. And Paul addresses the believers here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, can't know the will of God outside that. And I trust this morning that each of us knows that we're saved. We know that Christ is our Savior. Whatever we thought was going to get us ready for heaven one day, that's all gone. Now we understand the Lord Jesus, he's the only way. And the reason why he is the way is because he was God manifest in the flesh, who came and lived a sinless life and died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there's been a time in our life that we can say, I know that I asked the Lord Jesus to save me, I asked God to forgive me, I asked to be born again, I asked to be converted, whatever words we might have used, and we may have used very few words, but we know that something took place, a transaction took place in our lives, that we are not the person we once used to be. We couldn't maybe give explanation a whole lot about what that is, but we know for sure, as a child of God, we know that we're saved now. We maybe couldn't quote a whole lot of verses. We maybe couldn't come up with Isaiah 44 verse 3, where the Bible does say just that. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and pour floods upon the dry ground, and pour my spirit upon your seed and upon your offspring, and some will rise up and say I'm Jacob, and some will say I'm the Lord's. And it's a great passage of scripture that. You say, I don't know all those things. That's fine. Are you saved? If you're saved, then you start to live for the Lord and you follow these principles here, then you'll get to know these verses and you'll get to know these passages and you'll be able to know God in a richer and a greater way. It's a great blessing. It's a great privilege to be saved, because the Bible says few go in at that narrow gate than are saved. And so if you're saved this morning, then you and I can rejoice at God's goodness and God's grace in saving us, and that we are now brethren and the children of God. So Paul addresses the children of God. Ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now the people in Paul's day were very, very aware, of course, of dead sacrifices. Down at the temple, they would bring the animals in and they would slay the animals, and the sacrificial animals would be placed on the altar, and there'd be burnt offerings, and there would be other offerings that would take place there, and sin offerings, and the Day of Atonement, there was an animal slain, there was a goat slain, there were cattle slain, and they were very aware of dead sacrifices. But Paul says something a little different. He says, I said to the believers, I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, when an animal was sacrificed on the altar, what was left of it after the flames had done their work was a little bit of ash, but the body was destroyed and gone and had been burned up. It's a little like that. When we present our bodies a living sacrifice to God, we're saying, God, here I am. I present myself to you for you, as it were, to consume, for you to have total control, total veto of my life. I present myself to you. And notice Paul said, this is your reasonable service. This is something that's reasonable for every believer to do, to come to that place in their life where they say, Lord God, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. This is only reasonable. You say, why is it reasonable? Because of the mercies of God. Because we are saved. Because of the mercies of God that are new every morning. Because of the grace of God who has saved us. And because of the cleansing blood that cleanses us from all sin. And because of the peace of God. And because of the joy that comes. And because of God meeting every need that we have because of the mercies of God. Paul says it's just a reasonable thing to present your bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. So it's just a reasonable thing to do. Just reasonable. And we could think in our own lives, some things are just reasonable to do, aren't they? Why? Because of all that's gone into the events and because of all that's taken place, and it's just a reasonable thing to do to do certain things in this life. And so it is when we come to God, it's a reasonable thing to do, to present our bodies a living sacrifice and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am to serve you, and I present my body to you. And remember, the idea in one sense, of course, is everything I am and have I present to you. But he does emphasize here this point, present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, I present my hands to God and I say, Lord, these are your hands for you to use and for you to do what you like with them. And I say, Lord, these are your eyes, and then you do what you want to do with those eyes, Lord. They're your eyes, and Lord, these are your ears, and I want you to use those ears however you want me to use them. I want you to use them, and Lord, these are my feet, and these are my legs, and wherever I go, I want them to be your legs, so that they go where you want me to go and do what you want me to do. And Lord, and so on we go. We present our bodies a living sacrifice and say, Lord, here I am. I remember reading the story of this Chinese Christian who was on a train one day, and he was in a compartment there where there were three other men, and they decided they wanted to play a game of cards, and they needed four men for the game. And so they looked to this Christian man, they said, listen, we'd like you to join us in a game of cards, and they're going to do a little gambling there. And he said, I'm sorry, I didn't bring my hands with me. And they looked at him and they said, what? He said, well, all we want you to do is have a game of cards with us. And he said, I didn't bring my hands with me. And they said, could you explain yourself? He said, these hands belong to God. These are God's hands now. I'm a Christian. These are God's hands. And I can't use God's hands in gambling. You see the principle there. I present my body. I present my hands. I present my eyes. I present my ears. I present my legs and my feet, my whole body to God. And I say, God, this body is now your body. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I give you control, and I allow you to do what you like with my body. It's an unconditional surrender. And it's not just a one-off and I never need to do it again. It is a one-off thing where I come as a living sacrifice to God and say, Lord, here is my body. Take it and receive it as a sacrifice. Lord, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. I give it to you. But I need to do that also daily. Have a look in Luke chapter 9. As the Lord Jesus spoke of discipleship and those who would follow him. In Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There's the principle there. If you're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says you need to take up the cross daily. That means daily I say to the Lord, Lord, I am a living sacrifice. My body is yours to use today, however you will. Wherever you want me to go, wherever you want me to, those feet to go, I'll go there. Whatever you want me to do with my hands, these are your hands, Lord. Whatever you want me to listen to, these are your ears, Lord. Whatever you want me to look at, Lord, these are your eyes. I'll look at those things. And Lord, why? Because my body is a living sacrifice. I'm not a dead sacrifice. I'm alive to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I present my body a living sacrifice. Say, Lord, here I am. And it's an unconditional surrender, but it's also a daily surrender. He said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so each day you and I ought to start the day and say, Lord, here I am. I present my body a living sacrifice. Lord, whatever you want me to do today, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to say, and on we go. Should be done daily. Every day I say, Lord, please fill me with your spirit. Lord, I pray that you would have control over every area of my life. Lord, I want you to have your will and way. I surrender, Lord. I want you to hold all my being absolute sway today. Whatever you want me to do. You say you must live a perfect life. I'd like to be able to say that. But I start the day with that. Lord, I'm a living sacrifice. Lord, take me and use me as you would today. That's what Paul's talking about here. I beseech you. It's almost like I beg you, listen. Listen, by the mercies of God, because of what God has done for you. And this is reasonable. I'm talking something here reasonable. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he goes on, number three, and says, and be not conformed to this world. So he says, first of all, you need to be saved. And once you're saved, you need to make this commitment of presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then number three, he says, don't be conformed to this world. And be not conformed to this world. Now, the idea of conform, the word means this. It means to fashion or to shape one thing like another. In other words, our lives ought not be shaped and fashioned like an unsaved person's life. Shouldn't be that way. There should be a clear distinction between the brethren, between the children of God and the children of this world. There ought to be a clear distinction, not to be conformed, not to be fashioned or shaped like those others. That's what he's saying. Don't be conformed to the world. Now, when he says the world, he's not talking about the earth and the space. Now, he's talking about the world's philosophies, the world's ideologies, the world's teachings, those things out there in the world that determine and dictate how people live in the world. He said, we ought not to be conformed to those things. He said, remember, your bodies are a living sacrifice, and your body is to be, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, it is to be conformed to the will of God and to know and to do the will of God. God says that's what it's to be. You're not to be conformed to this world and not to be fashioned or made like the world, but like the Lord Jesus Christ. He says you need to be saved and you need to present your body as a living sacrifice. And then you need, is the negative side, be not conformed to this world. He says your bodies are God's. You're not to be conformed. Your bodies, the way you use them, what you do with them, they're not to be conformed to this world. And I want to look at two or three things here in a minute just to highlight these issues. And they're issues, and for many people they're huge issues, and they're issues that ought not to be issues for believers. If we've truly presented our bodies a living sacrifice to God, they ought not to be issues, but they are for many Christians. It's interesting, we were talking to a man during the week, and he said something to this effect. He said, you know how you could make your church bigger? And I'm always interested in hearing those comments. He said, here's how you ought to do it. I'm listening. He says, stop telling people what to do. I said, all right. He said, nobody likes being told what to do. I said, I agree, I don't either. I said, but when you come to the Word of God, God does tell us what to do. He said, yeah, but if you just a little bit, he said, you'll get more people. I said, well, okay. Thanks, brother, for that information. But he makes a point. He says, stop telling people what to do. That when you're preaching, that's what happens, isn't it? It's in the preaching we're reproving or we're rebuking or we're exhorting, and effectively what we are doing as preachers, we're saying, this is what you ought to do. And as the man said, most of us don't like that. We don't want to. Who does he think he is telling me what to do? Well, I'm just telling you what God says. God says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. You know, there's a Sunday school song, a children's song. It goes, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a Father up above, and he's looking down in love. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. See, when we present our bodies a living sacrifice to God, then our ears aren't ours, they're God's. And so we need to be careful what we listen to. And so we need to be careful. And here's, you know, I'll just raise three controversial hot topics for people, you know. Music. It's a hot topic, let me tell you. Boy, oh boy, people get excited about music. And one of the problems, they say, well, music is one of those things that, you know, it's kind of neutral. Music's neutral. Let me tell you, that's not true. Music is not neutral. If you've ever watched a movie of any sort at all, and you listen to the music, what does the music do? It sets the mood of the whole thing. You know what it's like when you get to a scary place in a movie? And the music's going, dun, 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 dun. And people's hands start to sweat and sit on the edge of the chair because there's a build-up. You say, the music's just neutral. No, it's not neutral at all. It's building up to something. And all of a sudden, someone goes, boom! Oh, I wish I hadn't done that. What am I saying? I'm saying music is not neutral. And we are not to be conformed to this world. That means we are not to be conformed to the music of this world. That means what we listen to is important. And I know today that the contemporary Christian music scene is a multi-billion dollar it's expanded out to. And people love it. Why? Because it appeals to the flesh. It makes me want to jump around and dance around and do all that kind of stuff. So I'm just dancing to Jesus. Well, bless God. Don't do it in the flesh. You know, there's a difference between the world's songs and the Lord's songs. Now, a lot of Christians today are saying, well, as long as the words are okay, as long as the song talks about Jesus, well, as long as the song talks about God, that makes it all right. That doesn't make it all right at all, let me tell you. You can sing those songs in a very... Did I do some kind of little impersonation recently? I don't remember. Don't keep track of all these things, but sometimes just on the spur of the moment, you know? But how you can sing certain hymns in a way that is clearly very worldly. You know, you pick up the microphone. I won't pick it up because I have to try and put it back. And you get a hop. Ah, there you go. Okay. I got two of them. All right. I'll really be able to go to town here in a minute. Okay, so what we do, here's what we do. We get a bar stool in. We do away with the pulpit, because the pulpit's a little bit threatening. Someone stand up there behind a pulpit. No, we get rid of the pulpit. And we take off our ties, and we put a nice Hawaiian shirt or something like that on, nice open neck shirt, and we get a bar stool out, and we turn the lights down low, and we have some other lights strobing around the place, and then we begin to sing about Jesus. And people love it. Oh, they flock there. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, isn't that wonderful? You know what that is? That's straight out of the world. People say, well, the words are good. Yeah, and what's everybody doing? While I'm doing, oh, you're laughing, but at these so-called churches where they do this kind of stuff, what are they all doing? Oh, my. Be not conformed to this world. Be careful the kind of music you listen to. And there's room to move. I don't think you have to listen to Onward Christian Soldiers. Full stop, nothing more, nothing less. There is a lot of good Christian music, but make sure it's Christian music. There's a difference. You know, in Psalm 137, the Jews were in captivity. And the Babylonians said to them, how about you sing us some of the songs of Zion? Some of the songs of God. And they said, how can we sing the Lord's song? Notice the difference. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And they hung their harps upon the willows. Now the point I'm trying to make is there's a difference between the songs of Babylon and the songs of God. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And we need to be careful. We need to be careful about what we hear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Why? Because these ears, I've presented them to God. My body is a living sacrifice which I've accepted, given to God. It's my reasonable service. It's that which is because of the mercies of God that He's bestowed upon me that I do willingly and reasonably. I can remember as a young Christian kind of being excited about these sort of things and You know, and I think we all are as young Christians. We get excited. Lord, what would you want me to do? And Lord, nothing's too much. And I'll give up this, or I'll give up. I'll go around the world. I'll go overseas. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. My body's a living sacrifice. And then we get down the track a little bit, and we get a little bit more spiritual, so-called, and we get a little bit more stuck in the mud, and we get a little more fixed in our ways, and we get a little bit less pliable, and we've kind of arrived where we feel comfortable as a Christian. And then when the preacher gets up and says, listen, you need to be careful about this or be careful about that, we kind of get a bit stiff in the neck about it. We're not quite what we used to be. When we got saved, we said, praise the Lord, that sounds good. I never heard that sort of thing about, you know, Christian music and the songs of Zion, the songs I never knew about. That boy, I must find out about this. But now we're. Who's he think he is telling us what to do? That's what happens. Would to God we could stay in that first love where we say, Lord, my body is a living sacrifice, and my ears, whatever you want me to listen to, Lord, I'll listen to it. If you want me to listen to sermons all day, I'll listen to them. If you want me to listen to a particular CD or a tape or whatever, just whatever you want me to listen to, Lord, I'll listen to it. Because, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm a living sacrifice. So we need to be careful what we listen to. We need to be careful what we watch. These two can go together. One of the things we need to be careful of, and here's the danger, here's the problem from a preaching point of view. Here's the problem. We are so stuck in the world in which we live that many times we don't recognize that what we are doing or what we are watching, what we are listening to, in large amounts is really very worldly and is doing nothing to increase our walk with the Lord or impress the Lord at all, in fact. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's get down to it. Professional sport. And I prefaced it with professional, okay? I've allowed for sport, okay? Professional sport. Think about professional sport. Who promotes a lot of these things? The breweries and others? So what's wrong with that? Are you saved? Well, they're just having fun. Yeah, that's the world's fun. But we're not to be conformed to this world. You say, is it wrong to hit a cricket ball? I don't think it's wrong to hit a cricket ball. But I think we need to be careful of how much time we devote to that sort of thing and what we hear and what we watch in those areas. You think about the AFL football. What are you going to learn there? You're going to learn how to get angry. You learn how to get violent. You're going to learn how to abuse the umpire. You're going to learn how to abuse the opposition. You're going to learn how to fight the opposite in the crowd. You're going to learn a lot of things there. But is that of God? You say, well, that's not everybody. I know it's not everybody, but don't be conformed to this world. You think about the cricket. You say, do you ever watch or listen to cricket? I have on occasion. Gee, I don't go to my way to do it, but I have on occasion. I'm trying to make a point here. We need to be careful. You know, it was interesting. Shane Warne has just retired. Well, that's what our neighbour did. Shane Warne's retired. Well, what a sad day. Now, Shane Warne is held up as an icon, an idol, and a god. He's just a wicked sinner. I mean, if half the things they put in the newspaper about him are true, he's no role model for a dog, let alone for a godly young person. Oops, spit. I said, try not to spit. I happened to be somewhere when he, I don't know whether he played his last, no, he didn't play his last game, somewhere near his last game, I happened to see him being interviewed. And Australia had won the game. They're talking to Shane Warne. So what do you reckon, Shane? He said, it's all about winning. You know what? He's wrong. Life's not all about winning. Hello? That is the world's philosophy. And you pick it up in these sporting arenas. It's all about winning. It is not, young people, life's not all about winning. That means most of us are total failures if life's all about winning. Sports events. It's a total failure. We've all failed miserably. But that's not true. That's worldly philosophy. Be not conformed to this world. Everyone, if you heard Brother Crockett when he was here, he said, every one of us are winners in the Lord. All of us. Shane Warne and his ilk say, it's all about winning. Well, I'm sorry, Shane Warne, you're wrong. It's not all about winning. It's a worldly philosophy. The Bible says that physical exercise profits little, but godliness is great gain. Godliness. How do I become godly? Present your body a living sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. And so the Shane Warnes of this world dictate to the young people, and the philosophies and the things that he teaches comes down, down, down. And you see young kids thinking they're Shane Warne strutting around the place. Think it's all about winning. They throw the bat and they throw the ball and they won't play and they won't do this and they won't do that. Where'd they get all that? From the world. Didn't get it from the Lord. If I read there, it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And a whole lot of other things there. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. And we can go on and on. And so be careful. All of us need to be careful. You say, do you think it's a sin to listen to those things or watch them? I'll let you be the judge of that. Ask God whether he thinks for you it's a sin or not. I'm not going to tell you that. Some things I think are clearly sinful, but if you carry on like them, then that's clearly sinful. But what am I saying? I'm saying be careful, we're not conformed to this world. These things are so powerful in our lives. They so impact our lives. And if we're not very, very careful, very, very guarded, then we'll find ourselves caught up in them and not even know it. Won't even realise. You say, do you play to win? Listen, we've got an 8-ball table at home now. Let me tell you something. I play to win. And I don't have to try too hard most times. You see, I'm modest as well. I play to win. But let me tell you something. When that game's over, win, lose or draw, it's over. And if I didn't win, too bad. If I did win, I'll remind them of that. But the point I'm trying to get at, it's not just about winning. It's about having a good time and having some fellowship and see what skills you've got and what you haven't got and do all those kind of things. That's fine, that's good. Well and good. Have fun. Don't you know, Christian's life's not supposed to be. Oh, boring, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, and well, you know, you can't play 8-ball, you know, can't. No, most people can't play 8-ball. They just don't have the same abilities that some of us have, but I mean that's okay. That's okay. But we need to be careful that we're not conformed to this world. It's not all about winning. It's about being saved and knowing and doing the will of God. That's what life's about. It's about being saved. It's about being and knowing and doing the will of God. And so we need to be careful what we listen to. We need to be careful what we look and listen to. We need to be careful what we put on our bodies. Oh, here we go. Oh, no. Pastor's going to get on that again. I don't do it very often, but occasionally it's good to. What do we put on our bodies? Is it doesn't really matter, doesn't it? Or does it? We need to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't follow, I'm saying this carefully now, follow closely the world's fashion. Can't help but wear some of the world's fashion. I mean, you've got to wear clothes. I understand that. And so whatever you buy is a world fashion in a sense. I understand that. I trust you kind of get what I'm talking about. We need to be careful what we put on our bodies. Make sure we put something on them and make sure what we put on them is pleasing to God. Both men and women. You know, oftentimes, people think, well, the preacher's beating up on the ladies all the time. You know, he's always telling the ladies what they shouldn't wear. What about the men? Yeah, the men ought to be careful what they wear too. It's not just the ladies, but the ladies are a little unfortunate in the sense that they do have a bigger problem than men in the area of dress, generally. generally, for some obvious physical reasons. So there is a bit more of a problem in that sense. But nevertheless, men ought not just strut around and think, well, I just wear what I like when I like, and who cares? You know, no, it's not your body. Right? You present it to God as a living sacrifice, and so you put on it what the Lord would have you put on. What would the Lord put on his body? Then I need to put that on, because it's his body now, okay? And we need to understand that there are fashions out there that are clearly, clearly ungodly fashions. They don't meet biblical requirements. They don't meet biblical standards. There's no way they do. But if we don't come and present our bodies a living sacrifice and say, God, whatever you want me to do, whenever you want me to do it, then some of these things are going to stick in our neck a bit. And we're going to get cranky. I know ladies not here today, I could number a few off who are not here today, and the main reason they're not here today is because they heard me preach about women's clothing on occasions. I don't know very often. If you check back over the CD, see how many times I do it. It's not very often. But it just so happened on those odd occasions when I did, those ladies got their knickers in a knot and they didn't come back. That's what happened. You say, what made them so mad? Well, I believe they hadn't presented their bodies a living sacrifice. They hadn't said, Lord, what you want me to put on, I'll accept it. Whatever anybody tells me, I'll listen to it, then I'll run it through the scriptures, and if I think it's scriptural, that's what I'll do. It's more, nobody tells me what to do. Oh, now we've got a problem. Nobody tells me what to do. And, you know, what I was saying to my family the other day, one of these, I don't think I will do it, but I'm tempted. I said to my family the other day, I'm going to wear one day a dress in the pulpit. And they said, oh, you couldn't do that, Dad. I said, well, I could. Yes, I would. I said, I could. Now, why would they say you couldn't do that? Think about it. Why would they say you can't wear a dress, Dad? Why? Because I'm a man, not a lady. And ladies wear dresses, not men. Correct? Yeah. So if I were to wear a dress here, everybody would go, ooh, what's happened to Pastor Cotton? He's been out in the sun too much. Too much fishing doth make thee mad. And so I said, all right, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll wear a dress that is so outlandish that no lady would ever wear it. And then I could say, well, I'm not wearing what ladies wear because no ladies would ever wear this. Now, can you see where I'm heading on all this? You say, would that be okay? If I wore a dress, I don't know how I could do it, but just say it was kind of modest, but it was such a ridiculous colour and such an awful, outlandish pattern that any lady who ever looked at it would say, there's no way I'd wear that. So I could safely say, surely, this is not a lady's dress, this is a man's dress. Now, is this right reasoning or not? I just want us to think about it. Is that right reasoning or not? Because what happens today on the other side of the coin? And I know this is a hot potato for a lot of people, whether ladies should wear only dresses or whether they should wear dresses and pants. You say, doesn't it scare you a little bit talking about it? A tinsy bit. Only a tinsy bit. And I know, look, I'm not on anybody's case or anything else, but I believe this, when we present our bodies a living, I'm thinking about myself when I got saved. I'd been saved a little while. I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I want to do it. I want to know it. Lord, just show me. And God began to deal with me in different areas of my life, this area, that area, this area, this area. And I said, oh no, what have I let myself in for now? I didn't realize that this was going to happen. I thought I was just doing the kind of God of service in a sense, saying I'm available. Now God's running me through the mill here and there, and what I was doing here, what I was drinking here, what I was listening to there, what I was going there. And I thought, oh, is this ever going to end? Well, it did. And it did and it doesn't. God keeps fine-tuning it. But what I'm trying to say is when we have this attitude of I'll do whatever God wants me to do, then these things really don't become a problem for anybody. when we don't have that. You know, when before my wife got saved, she had shorts, she had pantsuits, she had jumpsuits, she had slacks. Man, she had them all.
I would like to see that.
Oh, I like to see it too. I'm not trying to embarrass her now. I didn't warn her I was going to say all this. But I'm coming to a good conclusion about it. I said, she had all those things. But once she got saved, something strange happened. God began to deal with her about those things. And she finished up throwing the whole lot out. And if you want an example of what a godly lady should wear, have a look at my wife. Okay. You say, what about ladies who do wear pants? That's okay. They've got to do it as to the Lord. If they're comfortable doing that to the Lord, then I'm comfortable for them. I don't think it's God's best, but I understand there's certain situations. But what happens is, you go back, and I know I've said this before, but you go back, at one time ladies wore dresses. They didn't wear pants. No ladies wore pants. I can remember when I was young, it started, just a little bit, the odd lady would wear slacks and everybody would go, wow, look at that, can you believe that? See what she's got on. Oh, shock, horror, terrible. And now because many people do it, we justify and say it's okay. But let's put it the other way around. If I start wearing this dress and I can convince a few other guys to wear it and a few others, and I can gather momentum on this thing and get enough of them so that now quite a few of us wear dresses, what's wrong with them? Is that the way to decide God's will? Does the majority rule? Well, the majority of ladies wear, so what? Well, the majority of ladies don't wear, so what? What does God tell us? That's the point I'm trying to get across. Be not conformed to this world. Why? Well, because of the mercy of God, I've presented my body as a living sacrifice. And so now it's not my body. Lord, you put on there what you want me to put on there. And Lord, you caused me to hear what you want me to hear. Lord, you caused me to do what you want me to do. Lord, you caused me to go where you want me to go. Lord, it's your body. You do what you like with it. And then he goes on and says the fourth thing here is the positive, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So Paul's saying, look here, effectively there's four things. You need to be saved, you need to present your body as a living sacrifice, then you need to be careful you're not conformed to this world, but you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is where the battle goes on. This is where the battle takes place in my mind. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man think. And we can look outwardly okay. I understand that. And still be rotten on the inside. I understand that. But the Bible says we're to be transformed. And the idea is, you know, the word, we get our word metamorphosis. You know what happens when a grub goes from a grub to a butterfly? There's a total transformation, isn't it? They go into the cocoon as a grub and they come out as a beautiful butterfly flying around. It's been transformed. That grub has been transformed. God wants us to be transformed from grubs when we're unsaved, the butterflies like Christ. He wants us to be transformed. You say, how's it going to take place? Through the renewing of our mind. So how do you renew your mind? Through the Word of God. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. How do you know where that scripture, Isaiah 44, verse 3, is? Because I read my Bible and I memorize those verses. You say, you just got a good brain. Not really. It's good enough to get me by, but how do you know these things? You meditate on them. You think about them. You read upon them. Look, most Christians know more about the Australian test results than they do about Isaiah 44, verse 3. What's more important? Well, I think you've got to keep up with current events. So do I, about this much. You catch it by accident walking around. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. You don't have to seek it out. It's there. Did you hear about this? What? Yeah, no, heard about that. That's good, yeah. What's that? Yeah, heard about that. Hear about that earthquake over there? Did I? No, I didn't hear. What happened? A few people killed? Right, good, yep. Yeah. I'm up with it. I've got it. I don't need to sit there and watch it and watch it and watch it and watch it and listen to it and listen to it until I'm, oh, what a bad world, really. What a shocking world, really. What a terrible world. Oh, the world's so bad. I mean, people say to me, I get that depressed watching the news. Well, that's simple. Don't watch the news. Hello. Isn't that easy? Solve their problem just like that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think it was Spurgeon said, we should know so much Bible, if someone were to prick us, we'd bleed Bible. We're saturated in it. Your mind is thinking, not conformed to this world, the world's philosophies and ideologies. How do you get rid of them? By replacing them with the Word of God. And so I think biblically, not worldly. I think in terms of Scripture. I think in terms of God's Word. How should I deal with this? How should I deal with that? If I don't know any of God's Word, I'm going to just do it according to how the world does it or how I used to do it. So I'm saying this to encourage us this morning. When we come to this place of a living sacrifice, Lord, here I am. I don't want to be conformed to this world. I want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, nothing will be too much trouble. I know from personal experience. I say, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want me to do. These are your hands. These are your feet. These are your eyes. These are your hands. Whatever. It's all yours. When we have that attitude, you know, God gives grace that he doesn't give any other way. God says, now, I don't want you to play that game of poker with those guys anymore. That's gambling. And they're my hands. I don't want you to play them. Can you come and play cards with us? Sorry, these are not my hands. I can't do it. What do you mean they're not your hands? They're the Lord's. They belong to the Lord. And may the Lord help us to understand and just be refreshed as we think about these things. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. May the Lord allow us to be willing to say, Lord, please transform my thoughts, my mind by your word so that I will think and have the mind of Christ. Paul said that's how it will be. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Let his mind be in you. And then you'll know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we do praise you and bless you for this time together and for your word in particular. And Lord, it's thrilling to look at the word of God and to see, Lord, you have a plan which is and a will which is good and acceptable and perfect. Lord, you require us, though, to present our bodies as living sacrifices that we might, Lord, not be conformed to the world but transformed by the renewing of our mind. But then, Lord, we can know what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And Lord, what a blessing that is, and what a privilege it is, Lord, too, even that we should be called the sons of God. Lord, thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your salvation, which is in Christ. Lord, help us to see these things are just reasonable things because of the mercies you've bestowed upon us. And Father, we would give you the thanks and praise now in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.